This is Gene Montrastelli, the editor of TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to the October Tap Along Q&A call for the Ruoff Center. As always, as we work through the call today, for those of you who are joining us online, all you need to do is, if you'd like to ask a question, in the left-hand box, you'll see a place where you can type your question in, and I will get it here. As a reminder, you're about a 15-second delay behind it happening live. So if you ask a question, it takes me a moment or two to get to it. I haven't missed it. It's simply because it's just showing up a little later than you might think it is. For those of you who have called in, if you'd like something to tap to, all you need to do is press star 2 to raise your hand. I also received a number of emails beforehand. Folks had some issues and some things that they wanted to tap to. And so we're going to do that as well. If you missed the call Tuesday night, the recording is on the site. What I did was I actually talked about the way that I tap, not just, you know, ideas of tapping, but I kept a journal over the course of a week of every single time I tapped, what I tapped for and how I tapped for it. And so what I did on Tuesday night's call is I shared the 6 tapping tools that I had used in the week prior, just so that you can see what tapping looks like when it's implemented. I did it for long-term issues. I did it for things that came up in the moment. I did it for taking action and planning. So if you go back and re-listen to that audio, you will hear the 6 different ways that I tapped over the course of the week. One of them is one that I use regularly that I've talked about on these calls before. The other 5, I don't know if I'd talked about in calls before. So it's just an opportunity for you to see what it's like and how I do my tapping on a regular basis. So if you have something you'd like to tap to or you have a question, just press star 2 to raise your hand or stick a question over in the left-hand box. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start with some notes that I got, emails that came in, and we'll start there. And as things come up and there are things that you would like us to tap to, just raise your hand or add the question. So the first email that I received early in the week was someone was looking for help on tapping for clutter. And this is something that comes up a lot because oftentimes it's hard for us to move forward if we are not in a good space. One of the things that I always did in college before I did any homework at all or any studying was I always cleaned my room and I always cleaned my desk because I found that the cleaner my space was, the clearer I was and able to respond. And now, I recognize the fact that what is going on externally in my space oftentimes is reflecting on what's going on internally. If there's external clutter around me, oftentimes that is connected to and a part of the internal emotional clutter that is going on. So, my favorite little clutter tapping technique is kind of a version of parts work that seems a little silly and a little odd. So if you have some clutter in your life, what you're going to do is I want you to tap along with me. One of the things I'm doing this afternoon is I am completely redoing and cleaning up my office. So I have clutter all around me. So I'm going to use the clutter that's in my space. And what we're going to do is we're going to tap our way through it. And you just take the clutter that you have and see what's going on. So to begin with, just tap inside of your hand, take a nice big deep breath. And tap on the collarbone, take a nice big deep breath. And what I want you to do is I want you to tune into some clutter in your life, and I want you to be specific about it. It's not your entire house. It's not even necessarily the garage or your workroom or the kitchen. I want you to think of something really specific, like the piles on the kitchen table or the piles on the floor next to your desk or one particular set of shelves in the garage. And I want you to be really specific about that clutter. And so for me, as I look off to my left on the floor, there is this giant pile of mail that's just slowly been accumulating over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And so as you tap on the chin, I want you to tune into your clutter pile. And at least the point of reference I use when telling this, because it dates my age, is growing up, there was a show created by the Henson Company on HBO called Fraggle Rock. And it was about a bunch of Muppets who lived underground, which is not important. But one of the things there was in it was there was this giant trash heap that the Muppets would go by, and the giant trash heap had a giant face on it. So it wasn't like it had a head, but in the pile there was eyes and there was a mouth, and you could interact and talk with the giant trash heap. And so what I want you to do is I want you to look at your clutter, and I want you to imagine it having a face. I put a little cartoony face on the front of it so it can talk. And as you tap on the side of the eye, I just want you to ask that pile of clutter, why is it there and why is it still stuck? And as you tap on the eyebrow, for me, as I look at this pile, it's mostly financial stuff. It's credit card statements and bank statements and stuff like that. And so the part of me that's hesitant to dive into it is I'm afraid the information I'm going to find. And as you tap on the collarbone, so what's the information that come forward and what do you notice? Now, as I do that, I quickly realize that this is an old pattern from back when money was a lot tighter. And I've had some success over the course of the last 2 years, particularly since I've been tapping daily, where that's really not an issue, that I'm really living a great life financially that I didn't have before. And the instant I do that, all of a sudden there's this quick release. And there's a part of me that goes, okay, great, I just want to go clean that up. Now, it might not be as quick as that for you. So when you are tapping along and you have that information come forward, then what you do is you tap on whatever information comes forward with that. So if this is a circumstance where I did have to do some more tapping, it would look something like this. There's a giant pile of paper that is filled with lots of financial details. There's bills and bank statements. And there's a part of me that's afraid if I deconstruct what's in that pile, I'm going to discover something I don't like. A truth about my circumstance. A truth about money that I owe. But I recognize the fact that if I don't respond to it, it's only going to get worse. And if I do respond to it, it's going to open up and allow me to make really good choices. And I recognize part of the reason that this pile is here is because this is an old pattern of mine. That this is stuff that's been stuck there before. And I'm in a much better place. And so I can go after this eyebrow and unpack what is there and clean up the mess. And so that's what tapping for something like that would look like. You know, just have a conversation with it and see what information comes forward. And you can utilize any of the other tapping tools that we have when doing that. You know, maybe a fear comes forward. You know, if I get rid of this stuff, I'm letting go of the people I'm connected to. Great. So we know how to respond to something like that. If I clean it up, it's only going to get messy again. If I clean it up, people are going to expect me to always be clean. You know, all of those things come forward and they become really good, simple tapping issues. And so if we look at the clutter and we respond to the clutter, then what it does is it allows us to unpack it in such a way that once we're done with that, we're going to be in a circumstance where we're going to be able to clean it up very quickly. Now, sometimes when we do this and we do tapping like that, not only do we clean that one pile that we've tapped for, but all of a sudden we get the motivation to go clean everything up. There are other times when we do something like that where we've done enough work where we're able to clean that particular pile, but none of the other stuff moves. And if that's the case, then what we do is we move to the next pile, and then we move to the next pile, and we move to the next pile. And what it allows us to do is it allows us to slowly chip away and slowly remove clutter. And as we do that, recognize that you don't have to do it all in one sitting. You might decide every single day, I'm going to take the clutter in my living room, and I'm going to take one pile at a time. And so you tap for that pile, and you do the cleaning around that pile. Or you might do it by object. You know, you might have lots of magazines, or lots of mail, or clothes everywhere. And instead of thinking of it in terms of piles, you can think of it in terms of objects and items that are there. So that is how we tap for clutter. If you have any questions about that, or you'd like to give it a try because you have something else you want me to walk you through that, again, just raise your hand or ask a question over on the left-hand side by tapping that question in. No questions are coming in yet. So we'll go on to the next email that I received. The second email I received was from someone. Ooh, got a hand raised. We're going to go there. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Gene, how are you?
Good. So what would you like
this
to do?
This is not about clutter, so it might be the time to talk
no,
about.
No, great. Yeah, what do you want?
I went to a blood and guts fun run today, a 5K obstacle course.
Yep.
And in this 3/4 of a mile in and second obstacle, I twisted my ankle.
Okay.
I sprained it pretty badly. Re-injury from an old soccer.
Yep.
Accident. And I did some tapping when I was hanging out in the car waiting for everybody to get done.
Right.
But I would love some help in figuring out how to keep, like, heal it faster and
great.
And take care of it.
Yep. Now, first and most important thing is, you know, get proper medical attention if it needs it. Don't think that tapping's obviously going to solve the problem. You know, if I ever got stabbed by a knife, I'm not going to sit in the corner going, even though I've been stabbed, I love and accept myself. So that's always the first important thing that we remember when we have anything physical going on is get proper medical attention. Okay. So with a physical injury, I like to approach it in three different steps. Okay. So the first step is the emotions around the injury and how it happened. So do this for me. Tap on the side of the hand. And as you tune into twisting your ankle and the fact that this is an old injury that's come up, what are the emotions that are hanging around the fact that the injury has happened in the circumstance of that injury? You know, is there frustration? Is there disappointment in your body? Is there what? Anger that you took a wrong step? Is there anything hanging around there?
Well, there's disappointment because, you know, it was really cold this morning. And so I was whining to my friends and we were all whining about how cold it was. But then once we started running, it was tons of fun and everybody's dressed up. And
right.
Then, you know, I was not tired already, you know, and I was a little bit, I was very disappointed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just do this for me. Tap on the eyebrow. There's a part of me.
There's part of me.
Side of the eye that's really disappointed.
That's really disappointed.
Under the eye that I didn't get to complete this thing that was so much fun.
That I didn't get to complete this thing that was so much fun.
Under the nose. And the loss of the sense of accomplishment I would have had.
And the loss of the sense of accomplishment I would have had.
Chin, when I would have finished it.
When I would have finished it.
Tall opponent. So I just had to sit in the car.
And so I had to just sit in the car.
Under the arm, and there was a loss of an opportunity.
And a loss of an opportunity.
Side of the hand, and I appreciate the fact.
And I appreciate the fact.
Eyebrow, that this is not the last run like that.
That this is not the last one like that.
Side of the eye, and I'll have the opportunity to do this again at some point in the future.
And I'll have the opportunity to do it again in the future.
Nice deep breath. And what do you notice now about the disappointment?
Well, I think a little bit came up like, well, I guess I didn't have to fail at any obstacle.
Right.
And then, I mean, I think I've analyzed a lot because I was in the car for a while, but remembering that it was an old soccer injury,
mm-hmm.
it took me out of playing soccer.
Right.
And so there's a sense of my body's failing me or...
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you sort of tap under the nose. There's a part of me.
There's a part of me.
Chin, that feels like.
That feels like.
Collarbone on some level.
On some level.
Under the arm, my body's failing me.
My body's failing me.
Side of the hand. When I'm doing these things.
When I'm doing these things.
Tippy top of the head that I really enjoy.
That I really enjoy.
Eyebrow. And have my body not work right.
And have my body not work right.
Side of the eye. Feels like a disappointment.
Feels like a disappointment.
Under the eye. But my body is a mechanical machine.
But my body is a mechanical machine.
Under the nose with moving parts.
With moving parts.
Chin. And even in peak physical condition.
And even in peak physical condition.
Collarbone. It can break down.
It can break down.
Under the arm. My body is doing the best that it can.
My body is doing the best that it can.
Side of the hand. As it navigates the obstacles.
And it navigates the obstacles.
Tippy top of the head of my day.
Of my day.
Eyebrow, and I appreciate how much my body does.
And I appreciate how much my body does.
Side of the eye in a completely unconscious way.
in a completely unconscious way.
Under the eye. It's actually really amazing. Under the nose. All the things that it can do. Chin, and how effortlessly it works. Collarbone. And so I appreciate all that it does. Under the arm, and I'm going to do what I can. Side of the hand to ensure that. Tippy top of the head, it heals. Eyebrow, nice deep breath. Oh, what do you notice now as you tune into it? And that sense of disappointment and being let down.
Well, again, I don't know why it keeps it. I haven't thought about the soccer stuff in years. But I think my body was healed, but I didn't want to go back in because I felt like a weak link, and our team was so competitive that it was letting the team down.
Uh-huh, yeah. Eyebrow, there's a part of me. Side of the eye that doesn't completely trust. Under the eye,
My body's ability to work.
Under the nose, and it holds me back. Chin, from doing the things. Collarbone that I want to do. Under the arm, and I give myself permission. Side of the hand to trust my body. Tippy top of the head, and to trust what I am doing. Eyebrow as I move through the world. Side of the eye. It's important that I take care of my body. Under the eye and move in my body. Under the nose in a way that makes sense. Chin, but I give myself permission. Collarbone to trust my body. Nice deep breath. Okay. What do you notice now as you tune back into it?
Yeah, that I'm making this more than it is.
Great. Okay. So that's the first step. And this is something that you might continue tapping on. But whenever we have a physical injury of any sort, I always find it, and really with anything, I find it really important to tap about the emotion about the circumstance. So before we even tap on the circumstance, we're tapping on the emotion about the circumstance, because it's almost like this layer of resistance that's around what's going on. If I'm really frustrated with my body, or I'm frustrated with my choices, or I'm frustrated how other people acted that put me in this circumstance that got me injured, it's going to be hard for me to heal because I'm spending all this emotional energy around what's happened. And that's resource that's being taken away from the healing process. So does that make sense?
Totally. So it's about it's emotions around the circumstances.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The injury.
Yep. How do I feel about what's going on? And that can have a couple of aspects to it. One can be about how it happened. The other can be how it's limiting you now. You know, let's say you twisted it to the point that it's really hampering your mobility. Well, then it's really easy to be frustrated at how much harder your life is, because the injury has happened. And now it's a new set of frustration. It's about its impact on you day to day. You know, it might be preventing you from working out, or making it hard to walk the dog, or getting to work, or whatever it is. So any emotion that you have about how you were injured, and any emotion around how the injury is impacting you now, are great things to be tapping on. And I think it's a great place to start. The same is true for emotional stuff. Okay. So that's the first part. Okay. The second thing that I would be doing is I would be just regularly tapping for the symptoms and the pain. So a couple of times a day, just tuning into what's going on. And just, again, when we're tapping, the words themselves are not magic. What's important is our focus and our attention. And so what I would do is I would tune into the ankle. And as I move from tapping point to tapping point, I would describe the pain in as much detail as possible. It's a sharp pain that is radiating out, that runs through the center of my ankle, that feels like hot lava. And if I pulled it out of my body, it would weigh 7 pounds. And just, you know, go through. And those questions are not diagnostic, but they're just to make sure that we're staying focused on what's going on. Does that make sense?
Totally.
You know, so just right now. So just do this for me. Tap on your eyebrow. 0 to 10, how big is the pain right now, just as you're sitting here?
About a 7.
Great. And as you tap on the side of the eye, and is it a pulsing pain? Is it a sharp pain? Is it a dull pain? Does it feel like a pull?
It's like a tight pain, like it's being compressed.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
When I wiggle, it has sharp pain, but yep. Mm-hmm. Nothing as bad as before.
Right. And as you tap under the eye, tune in, is there an epicenter to the pain, or is there a radiation of pain? What do you notice about the pain?
Yep, it's originating from one spot and kind of spreading
great.
Out.
Mm-hmm. And as you tap under the nose, if you were going to paint a picture of the pain, what color or colors would you use to paint that picture?
Kind of like a stainless steel look. Mm-hmm. What keeps coming to my mind is like a rock hitting your windshield in the like a spidering effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as you tap on the chin, if you were going to make a diorama of the pain to show it to a second grade class, what would you use to show them what the pain is like? Would it be that spidered glass, or would it be something else?
With it being near Halloween, probably like a spider web.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The fake spider in the middle.
Right. And as you tap on the collarbone, if you reached in there and you pulled out just the pain and you held the pain in your hand, how much would it weigh? And it might not be pounds, but it might as much as an orange, as much as an anvil.
Probably a tennis ball.
Great. Mm-hmm. And as you tap under the arm, I want you to imagine, like we did before, a cartoony face on the pain. If the pain could say something, what would it say?
Lose some weight.
Mm-hmm. And as you tap on the side of the hand, 0 to 10, where's the pain at now?
Probably about the same.
Uh-huh, that's fine. And that's the way that we would just tap on it to stay focused on it. As you tap on the chin, ask...
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep, and as you tap on the chin, ask it, what does it need?
It needs a break.
Great. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why a body's in pain is so you don't walk on it. You know, it's a piece of information. You know, the reason our ankles swell up and they hurt is because the body wants to immobilize it and keep us off of it so it has the opportunity to heal. Okay. And so that's...
That's more of a result from the injury, or is that
Yeah, that's a result of the injury, you know. And that's the other thing that's important to remember when we're tapping on physical things. You know, when we're tapping on something that's really emotional based, and oftentimes we'll chase the pain, like it'll start as a headache and then I tap on it, then it'll go into a tightness in my stomach and then it'll move into a pain in my side. Like those are things oftentimes in a very short period of time we're going to be able to tap away. Things that are physical.
Is that because that's emotional based?
Yeah. If a pain is moving all over the body, you know, when I tear my rotator cuff and I start thinking about it, it doesn't all of a sudden become tennis elbow. And then it doesn't become something in my knee. Like it's a physical wound in a place. Okay. So when things are a physical wound, when we tap on them, they're going to respond differently to the tapping, because it's a healing process versus releasing an emotional thing that's showing up in a physical way so we understand what's going on. So if you take some time to tap on the physical pain and it doesn't move, don't be super frustrated by that. Recognize that's part of the process.
Cool. Thank you for that information. Because I was kind of going, okay, why isn't it moving?
Right. You know, I mean, you know, because it is an injury and there is that aspect to it. Okay. So what we want to do is we want to be putting the system in a place to be moving forward and healing as fast as possible. So that's the third part. So the first part, we tap around the emotion of what's going on. And as we release the emotion about what's going on, I believe it opens the door for healing, and we're spending less energy and emotion on emotions that gives the body more stuff to do. The second is to tap specifically on the symptoms like we just did, and to do that regularly. The third is just to tap around the power of the body. And so it would just go something like this. Tap on the eyebrow. My body is an amazing healing system.
My body is an amazing healing system.
Side of the eye. All day and all night, it is healing.
All day and all night is healing.
Under the eye. All day and all night, it is making my body better.
all day and all night. It's making my body better.
Under the nose. And it's transforming wounds into health.
And it's transforming wounds into health.
Chan, and I give my body permission.
And I give my body permission.
Collarbone, to release any blocks to this healing power.
To release any blocks from this healing power.
Under the arm, to release any known, unknown, or hidden blocks.
To release any known, unknown, or hidden blocks.
Side of the hand, and I give my body special permission.
And I give my body special permission.
Tippy top of the head, to concentrate on this injury.
To concentrate on this injury.
Eyebrow, to know that I'm not in a rush.
To know that I'm not in a rush.
Side of the eye, and I want the healing process to happen in such a way.
And I want the healing process to happen in such a way.
Under the eye, that it's efficient.
That it's efficient.
Under the nose, and ensures long-term health.
And ensures long-term health.
Chan, and if there's anything that my body needs.
And if there's anything that my body needs.
Collarbone, to speed this healing process.
To speed this healing process.
Under the arm, I want my body to ask for just that.
I want my body to ask for just that.
Side of the hand, because I want it to heal as well.
Because I want it to heal as well.
Tippy top of the head, and I'm willing to do.
And I'm willing to do.
Eyebrow, what I need to do.
What I need to do.
Side of the eye for long-term lasting healing.
For long-term lasting healing.
Nice deep breath. And so the third step is just tuning in and just, you know, reaffirming the work that the body's doing and letting the body know that, you know, I want to be a part of that and it's allowed to ask. And I find that if nothing else, I have no idea if it actually speeds the healing process. I do know it helps me to have some sense of clarity where I start making better choices to speed the healing process, you know, because again, I'm less cluttered in emotion and I'm being more responsive to the things that my system is asking for, because the body's an information system that's just constantly asking to have its needs met. And this gives an opportunity for us to be open to that. So does that make sense?
It's at about a 3 now.
Yeah. Well, good.
With something like this, would you expect it to kind of like go ebb and flow kind of up?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I would kind of imagine, because, you know, I would imagine it, you know, almost like each time we tap, it drops down, and then over time it goes back up again, and each time we tap, it goes down. And when it goes back up, you know, it might go 7 to a 3, 7 to a 2, 6 to a 4, 6 to a 2, 5 to a, and then you might do something where, you know, you're chasing after one of your pets and you're feeling better and you forget about it and you tweak it the wrong way and it spikes back up again, you know? So it's kind of, I would imagine over time, it's this thing that slowly it's going to keep going down and its peak is going to be lower and lower. And the rate in which you're successful when you're tapping happens faster and faster.
Cool. So keep doing like what I do, like icing, like I know what I need to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Include the tapping with those 3 phases.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're in a circumstance where you're doing ice or something like that, that's a great reminder. Every single time I refill my ice bag, or every single time I swap out the little cool packs out of my freezer to put on my ankle, that's a great time for me to do a little tapping.
Okay.
And if it's something where, you know, in the beginning where you're changing ice every 60 to 90 minutes, maybe you do one of those 3 steps each time you do that.
Okay.
Or what you do is, if it's not something you're icing, you know, you put a little reminder in your phone and 3 times a day, the reminder goes off and you take 10 minutes and you spend 3 minutes in each of those steps.
Okay.
You know, and typically what happens is we do a really good job for 3 or 4 days and then we start feeling so much better, we forget about it until we tweak our ankle and then the pain comes back and then we beat ourselves up for not remembering to tap for the last 2 days. So we got to tap on that first and then we go through the process again.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Thanks for already anticipating where I'm going to go, because that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, that's the way that we go through the healing process. You know, we feel great for a short period of time and just fall back into the pattern of our decades of life where it worked perfectly, and we just stop thinking about it.
Right.
So
cool.
Make sense?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Excellent. Again, if you got a question, you can just press *2 to raise your hand, or you can ask a question over in the chat box on the side. Okay, no hands raised at the moment and no questions. So I'll go on to the next email that I got in ahead of time. Someone had emailed in about how do I tap to set myself up to deal with my crazy family around the holidays. It's really interesting the amount of things that show up. And for me, the number of clients who show up out of nowhere, who normally aren't on my schedule this time of year, and they don't even necessarily show up because of family things, but it becomes this trigger. Because, you know, when we return to our family of origin around the holidays, we start falling back into our old roles, even if we've healed and transformed things. And we start, you know, everybody becomes 14 again, and the sibling order becomes a sibling order, even as adults, even with full families now, that sort of stuff happens. So going into the holidays, recognizing that sort of stuff, what we can do is we can do some tapping ahead of time that will really prepare us to be in a circumstance to deal with that sort of stuff. So what I want to do is I want to take a few moments and just tap for how we can set ourselves up for holiday stuff. So just tap on the side of your hand, take a nice big deep breath. And as you tap on the eyebrow, just repeat after me. The holidays are crazy. The holidays are nuts. Sometimes there's financial pressures of extra gift giving. There are all of the things that are obligations that we have to show up for. And there's lots of fun things that we choose to show up for, which create a huge traffic jam in our schedule, which means we have less time for ourselves, which means it's easier for us to be overwhelmed, which means that there is so much going on. I give myself permission throughout this holiday season to take time for myself, to say no to some things, to recognize it doesn't have to be all done right now. And it would be nice to do all of the fun things, but if it's completely wearing me out, and it's completely taking everything that I have, it's simply not worth it. It's okay to say no to some things. And it's important that I consciously take more time to take care of myself. Because in these busy times, my personal care is the first thing to go. So that's just some simple tapping around the idea of the craziness of the holidays. Now let's deal with families a little bit. Over the holiday season, I am going to be dealing with my family. And there are parts of that which are a great joy. And there are parts of that which can be an incredible burden. There are members of my family who treat me like they did 15 years ago. They simply assume that I haven't changed in any way, and that our relationship hasn't changed in any way. And because of that, we fall back into old patterns, which I have left because they're no longer healthy for me. And I give myself permission, the ability to recognize when these circumstances are coming up, to be open and aware to what is happening, and simply see that they're not seeing the change in me. And I don't have to fall back into that old role. I can be the new me in every way. I can let them be bent out of shape if they want about the change. I can let them ignore the change if that's what they need to do. But I choose to control myself, to take responsibility for my emotional response, and to be who I am. I recognize the holidays are nutty times, and we're put into unnatural positions with our family. And in a few short weeks, all of it's going to be over, and I'll be able to return to acting how I normally act. I give myself permission to be easy with myself and easy with the holidays, knowing that I don't have to engage in the family drama and craziness that everybody else is choosing to be in. Just like saying no to activities I don't want to do, I can say no to the drama and let it just spin around me. And there are going to be times where I do that well. And there are going to be times where I fall into the old pattern too. And I give myself permission to be easy with myself as that happens. Nice deep breath. I think one of the most important things to recognize is that when we name an inflection point, when we name a place where there's a pivot on how we're going to respond and there's pressure on us and things that are hard, if we name those inflection points before we go into them, we're more likely to make good choices. You know, if I stand outside the grocery store at 11:30 on a Sunday morning when it's just going to be crazy and I go, it's going to be crazy in there and I'm just going to get my stuff, I'm going to get out of there as efficiently as I can, knowing that there's a lot of people here because this is the time my break comes to the grocery store. If I do that before I go in, I put myself and I position myself to be much more successful because I am aware of what is coming and how to respond to it. And so when we have something like a holiday get-together, which we know in the past has been a little crazy because we're around people out of obligation, or everybody else is more high-strung and emotional, or people have been in a circumstance where they might have had a little too much to drink because it's the holidays. If we steel ourselves before we walk in there and do a little tapping before we go in, we're going to put ourselves in a position where we're going to see the things that are uncomfortable coming, and we're going to respond to them a lot better. So it's great after a really emotional evening or feeling really frustrated and stressed and dealing with people around the holidays because of obligations at work and our kids' school and family and all of that. It's good to do it after the fact, but if going in, you do that and you tap on that, you'll be set. You know, if holiday craziness is something that you deal with a lot, download the recording when we're done with the call. Go back and replay this part. And just every couple of days, take those 4 or 5 minutes of tapping and just tap on them and put yourself into a position where you will go into your holiday season where you're much more comfortable and you're much more confident. So that is tapping for holiday craziness, which I think is a really important thing to do. So if you have questions about that or something in that you'd like expanded or an aspect that came up as we were tapping along that you'd like to clear, that's great. If there's something else you'd like to tap on, you know, just press star 2 or tap something in the chat box. Another email that I received ahead of time was someone wanted to know, how do we tap for low energy? And for me, there's a couple of things that I do. The first thing that I do when I'm feeling this sense of low energy is I would go back to the call from Tuesday night. And if you're listening to this well in the past, that would have been the teaching call from October 22nd. The last thing that I shared on that call, which was the color cleanse, is something that I find as a really, really great way of picking my energy up. So that's the first thing that I would do, is I would go through that process with the 7 colors, having it move through the body with the intention that as each of the colors come into the body, not only like we did, are we breaking away things that are congested or stuck or need to be removed from the body, also do it in a position where energy is being brought into the system so that we're in a circumstance where we can feel that energy charging inside of us. The other thing is just tap on it really specifically like this. Right now, I have really low energy. And I might be in a circumstance where I'm really drained. Or I might be in a circumstance where I'm really overwhelmed. Or there might be a leak somewhere. Where I haven't had the chance to replenish my energy. And I give my system permission to bring forth any information that it has about the things that feel stuck in my system right now. About the places that feel congested. About the energy that's not coming forward. And I don't have to know why the energy has been drained. I don't have to know why my energy is so low. My system is allowed to correct and heal. My system is allowed to recharge. And if my system wants to share that information with me, that's fabulous. And if my system wants to bring forward things to tap on around low energy, that's great. But I also recognize the fact I can get my energy back without having to know why it was drained. In this moment, my recharging energy is so much more important than how it got drained. I also give my system permission to ask for what it needs. Types of food, amounts of water, stretching or exercise, things I need to remove from my life, things I need to remove from my diet, relationships that are sucking me dry. I give myself permission to bring those things forward so that I can respond to them. My system was made for energy. My system was made to be vibrant. I give my system permission to return to that state, to ask what it needs to be in that state, and to make good choices to allow me to be in that state. Nice deep breath. And you notice when we do something like that, you know, oftentimes for me, what typically happens first is when I'm really low energy, is the first thing I do is I actually move to a place of peace and calm, and there's not this huge rush of energy that comes with that. But what happens is, as time passes, now that I've gotten through that, the system seems to recharge. The other thing that I think can be done with low energy is at the beginning of the day, just going through and pretending what it's feel like to be energetic. So I want you to try this right now. So I want you to just tap on your eyebrow, and I just want you to know your energetic state. And it might not be super low, but I have a feeling you're not super, super high energy. But just tune into that state. And as you tap on the side of the eye, feel the speed that your mind's going at. Feel what's going on in your physical body. As you tap under the eye, I now want you to pretend and imagine what it's like to be high energy. Remember one of those times where you're just moving and grooving and you feel great and you feel connected and you feel sharp. And as you tap under the nose, just try that feeling on. See yourself moving through the world just effortlessly. Smile. I want you to smile. Just imagine going great, feeling great. As you tap on the chin, take a nice deep breath. I want you to take that feeling off, and I want you to return to where you are right now. And once again, notice the speed that's going on in your mind. Notice what your physical body feels like. And for me, I can just doing that once, I can just feel my body just moving with a little more energy. And it's much more easy and natural for me to smile. As you tap on the collarbone, once again, try on that sense. Feel what it feels like to have a lot more energy under the arm. Feel what it feels like to just be alive. side of the hand to be moving and grooving. And again, just give me a big smile. Big deep breath. Pretend. Just pretend, I got this energy. As you tap on the eyebrow, take a nice big deep breath. And I want you to return to where you are physically again. And just see what you notice. See the pace of your mind. See your physical body. And take a nice big deep breath. And if you got some water nearby, why don't you have some? And so I find that is another way of being able to do that, to move from the state that I'm in to the state that I want to be. And this doesn't just work for going from low energy to high energy. I do this a lot right before I go on stage. You know, I tune into how I feel before I'm going to speak. And then I tune into how I'd like to feel on stage. Connection with the audience, energy I have, sharpness of mind. And I just try it on like a costume. And I just feel it in every fiber and I tap through it. And then once again, I take it off. And I tune back into it and I take it off. And I do that 3 or 4 times. And I find that to be really, really effective. If you want an interesting conversation about kind of how I landed at that spot and started using that, my attempt to do that with tapping was really informed with the interview I did with Robert Smith and the podcast. So if you go to tappingqandapodcast.com, you'll be able to check that out. Yes, Robert is a very galvanizing figure. People either really like him or they really don't. I just found him really fascinating. He had some great information there. So that's kind of the way I found myself to that. So that's the way I tap for low energy. You know, is those couple of things is something that will make it really useful and really helpful. Let me check one more time if we got any other tapping requests. Nothing over in the chat room. Once again, if you want me to tap along with you, just star 2 to raise your hand. Looks like we're all quiet on the Western Front. Very good. I will, a little bit this afternoon, later this afternoon, get this audio up on the site so you can go back. I noticed a number of people popped into the call late and missed the first couple of things that we tapped on, so you can go back and catch it all. In the future, as always, if you have a topic or an issue that you want to tap along to in one of these calls, just shoot me an email, gene@tappingqandacom. For Tapping Q&A, this is Gene Montristelli. I hope where you are is beautiful as it is here. It's an awesome, awesome fall day, and I will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.